Chapter 8. Julia. On Sunday afternoon, Winston was a bit early. The train journey had been easy, and he had quickly found the path which the woman had told him about. It was the 2nd of May, and the sun was shining. Winston walked into a wood where the sun shone down through the trees. He had no watch, but he knew that it could not be 15 hours yet. He heard a sound behind him, and he felt afraid. Had someone followed him? Then he felt a hand on his shoulder and looked round. It was the woman. She shook her head, telling him to keep quiet, then quickly led him further into the wood. There were no telescreens, but there could be hidden microphones. The warm sunshine made Winston feel dirty and old. He felt sure that if she turned round and looked at him, she would decide that she did not want to be there. The woman pushed past some branches into a small open space which had tall young trees around it. She stopped and turned. Winston stopped too. He felt afraid to go closer to her.
"Here we are," she said. "I didn't want to say anything on the path in case there was a microphone. We'll be all right here. No one can see because of the trees, and there's nowhere to hide a microphone."
Winston moved closer to her. She was smiling at him.
"Your eyes are light brown," he said. "I didn't know what colour they were until now. But now that you've seen what I'm really like, can you still look at me?"
"Yes, easily," she said.
"I'm 39 years old. I've got a wife I can't get divorced from. I'm not very healthy. My back hurts, and I've got a terrible cough."
"I don't care," she replied.
The next moment, she was in his arms. He felt amazed. He could feel her hair against his face, and he was kissing her wide red mouth. She called him darling and loved one, and when he pulled her onto the ground, she fell there happily. They could have had sex then, but Winston did not feel able to. He was glad this was happening, but it was too soon.
"There's no hurry," she said. "We've got the whole afternoon."
She sat against him, putting her arm around his waist.
"This is a great place, isn't it? I found it when I was out on a community walk."
"What's your name?" asked Winston.
"Julia. I know yours. It's Winston. Winston Smith."
"How did you find that out?"
"Oh, I'm good at finding things out," she said. "Tell me, what did you think of me before that day I gave you the note?"
Winston did not feel that he had to lie to her.
"I hated you," he said. "I wanted to kill you. I wanted to hit you on the head with a stone. I imagined you were something to do with the Thought Police."
She laughed.
"You thought I was a good party member, enjoying banners and slogans and games and community walks, didn't you? And you thought I'd denounce you as a thought criminal so you would be executed."
"Yes, I did," replied Winston. "A lot of young women are like that."
Julia pulled off the red scarf of the Anti-Sex Society.
"You thought that because I was wearing this thing," she said, and threw it away.
Then she felt in the pocket of her overalls and found a small bar of chocolate. She broke it and gave half to Winston.
"I bought it on the black market," she said. "People steal things like chocolate and sell them all the time, but I am a good party member. I have to be because it's the only way to be safe."
Winston ate the chocolate, which was dark and shiny and very different from the normal soft brown stuff that had a horrible taste. The taste reminded him of something bad he had done in the past. Something that he would have liked to put right, but could not.
"You're 10 or 15 years younger than me," he said. What could you see in a man like me?
It was something in your face. I'm good at noticing people who don't belong anywhere. As soon as I saw you, I knew you were against them.
When Julia said them, Winston knew she meant the party. She talked so openly about the party, with such a huge amount of hate, it made Winston feel nervous, even though he knew they must be safe here. As they talked, they left the circle of trees and walked through the wood with their arms around each other's waists. At the edge of the wood, they looked out into the fields, and Winston was shocked to recognise the view.
"Is there a narrow river somewhere near here?" he asked.
He spoke quietly because they were no longer hidden in the trees.
"Yes, it's at the edge of the next field," she said. "It's the Golden Country," he whispered. "What's the Golden Country?" "It's somewhere I've sometimes seen in a dream," he replied. "Listen," whispered Julia.
A small bird was sitting on a branch quite close to them, singing. In the quiet afternoon, its beautiful song was very loud. The music went on, and Winston and Julia held each other. She felt soft and warm in his arms. Winston put his lips against her ear.
"Now," he said. "Not here," she said. "Come back to where we were. It's safer."
When they were back in the circle of trees, Julia turned to face Winston, smiling. Quickly, she took off her party overalls and then the rest of her clothes, as she had in his dream. She stood smiling in front of him.
"Have you done this before?" he asked.
"Of course, lots of times."
"With party members?"
"Yes, but not with inner party members, of course. And I love it."
This was what Winston wanted to hear. When they had sex, it would be because they loved each other and because they would enjoy it. They were fighting against the party. This desire for sex was the force that would tear the party to pieces. He pulled her gently down onto the grass. They fell asleep together afterwards, and when they woke, Julia took control. She told him a different way to go home and said she would leave first. She told him where they could meet again in 4 days' time, near a busy market in a poor area of the city.
"And now I must go," she said. "I've got an anti-sex society meeting at 19:30.
She kissed him, almost violently.
"Goodbye, my love," she said.
Then she pushed through the trees and disappeared. During the rest of May, Winston and Julia only managed to make love once in a ruined church in another part of the countryside outside London. Often they met for a few minutes in the streets after work, walking close but never together, and parting as soon as a police patrol came into view or a helicopter flew over. When they finally met in the church, they sat in a hot, dusty room in the tower and talked for hours. Winston told Julia about his marriage to Catherine. Julia told Winston that she was 26 and lived in a house with 30 other young women. She told him about a relationship she had had years ago with a party member of 60.
"It was fortunate that he killed himself before the thought police could torture him and learn my name," she said.
Winston began to understand that Julia hated the party because her aim in life was to have a good time, and the party's aim was to stop her. She was not interested in politics and what Ingsoc believed. She thought that conspiracies against the party were stupid and useless because it was impossible for them to succeed. Winston asked what she knew about Goldstein and the Brotherhood,
and their conspiracy to overthrow the party. But she did not believe the Brotherhood existed. However, Julia understood something which Winston had never understood. She understood why it was important for the party to prevent the enjoyment of sex.
When you have sex, you're happy and in a world of your own, and the party can't control you then, she said. If you're happy inside yourself, why would you care about Big Brother and the 2 minutes hate and all their other stupid ideas? Also, if you only allow sex for making children, people get angry. The party knows that and can turn that bad energy into hate.
Winston and Julia both believed that sooner or later the Thought Police would catch them and they would be killed. But Julia was not as pessimistic as Winston, who knew that one person could never win and could never be happy. The only victory would be in the distant future, after they were dead, when the party was defeated. Julia thought that happiness was possible if you were clever and lucky and did not get caught.
"We are the dead," Winston said. "We're not dead yet," replied Julia.
Then she picked up a small piece of wood and began to draw a map on the dusty floor to show Winston the way to their next meeting place.